All right. So good morning, everyone, and welcome to the executive board meeting, Orange County Workforce Development Board. I'm Terry Hollingsworth, chair of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. Why don't we begin with the Pledge of Allegiance? All right. Oh, wait for the flag. All right, put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Okay. Okay. Thank you. And we'll go back to the agenda. All right, board member roll call.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Present.
John Luker.
Present.
Annalisa Lukes.
Present.
And Barbara Mason.
Present.
We do have quorum, Chair.
Great, thank you. Any public comments?
We did not receive any public comments in advance. And we do have members of the public present. If there are members of the public that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. And I'm seeing none, Chair.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. Okay, so first action item on the agenda, we have the Orange County Workforce Solutions Memorandum of Understanding. Carmel, would you like to present on that?
Okay, there we go. Good morning. As you well know, the Workforce Development Board is responsible for the Workforce Solutions Centers throughout Orange County. So we are responsible for providing oversight of the Workforce Solutions Centers that support the 32 cities. Right now, we have a one-stop center in Garden Grove, which is our primary comprehensive center. And then we have affiliate sites throughout the county, as well as a mobile unit. The law requires that every 2 years, that we update the MOU and infrastructure agreement. The MOU and infrastructure agreement basically explains how partners play a role in the system, whether they're partners that are co-located or not. How do we do referrals as a workforce system so that people are served and that the one-stop center is truly a one-stop center? The team has worked with partners in the community, as well as various areas within the county to put together the MOU and infrastructure agreement that is due to the state this year. Unfortunately, because the South County location isn't up yet, and neither is the Brea location, those two locations will not be included in this current MOU agreement. However, when we open up the South County and the Brea location, we are going to need to update this MOU and infrastructure agreement. So I just want to be transparent that although we're requesting your support in passing this today, that we are going to have to go back and redo this because as we add on sites, we have to include those sites in our MOU agreements and infrastructure agreements. Because we have to explain how services are going to be delivered, how the cost will be split amongst the partners. In the one-stop committee meeting, we asked for the one-stop committee to allow us to vote to approve this item with the opportunity to make non-substantial changes to it. But when we talked to county council, it was his advice to either A, have people, if we make changes, have the parties all re-sign the agreement, or B, accept it as is and move it up. So I asked Francis to reach out to the state to get guidance from the state, what should we do because we are late in turning it in. And so it was the state's advice to go ahead as is, knowing that we're gonna need to make the updates later on. But essentially, the MOU agreement is just that, it's an agreement between us and all the partners on how we will provide services in the system and how the cost will be split. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeking the executive committee support and voting to approve this to move up to the full board committee. And then once it's submitted to the full board committee, it then goes to the Board of Supervisors for their vote and approval. Then it goes to the state for their approval, and then it goes to DOL.
And as you mentioned, Karma, that the changes that were made were not substantial changes, right?
They weren't, but county council said that he didn't think that we should make them without having the partners all sign it again. So he's recommended not to make any changes.
Okay. And tell me again when the other two locations it was the Brea location, and what was the other?
The Laguna Niguel location. So we anticipate the Laguna Niguel location opening up, and let me take two steps back. The Board of Supervisors approved that lease a month ago. So the Board of Supervisors voted and approved to enter into a lease agreement with the landlord in Laguna Niguel. So they're working on building up that location now. The intention is for that location to be open and for partners to be able to offer service at the end of the beginning of next year. Okay. And then the Brea location, we're working with county council now to hopefully open up that office. We're trying to shoot for October. I don't know if that's realistic anymore, but mm-hmm. that's what we were trying to get at the Brea location open up in October, because keep in mind, our Garden Grove location lease ends in June, and we don't want to continue with that location. It's not large enough for us, and there are a lot of other challenges with that location, such as the landlord won't allow the county to hold the lease, which is what we need. We don't want our service providers holding the lease, because that creates another compliance problem for us. So mm-hmm. we need to be able to have a location that the county can hold the lease that takes out the potential compliance finding for us as a workforce system.
Okay. Any questions? We'll open this up to the group. Any questions, any concerns with the MOU? Okay. All right, so I guess we need to take a motion to approve on this. Is that correct?
That's okay, correct.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Mason moved.
Luke's.
Okay, so Barbara with the motion, and then the second?
I'll second. Luke's.
Annalisa with the second. Okay. And
I'll go ahead and do the roll call vote.
Okay.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Approved.
John Luker.
Approved.
And Annalisa Lutz seconded the motion, and Barbara Mason motioned, and that is majority chair.
Thank you. All right. Moving on now to the information items section. We have a report from Business Services Committee.
Anna, you're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Get this out of the way. So we had a Business Services Committee meeting a couple of weeks ago, where we got great updates regarding job fairs. So there was a job fair in District 2 in the month of April that had quite a good turnout. 250 or so job seekers. Met with about 100 or so businesses. That was wonderful to hear, and we saw pictures of it as well. There was also a virtual job fair that took place in the month of June, and I think we learned a little bit about that in terms of the turnout. There were about 25 or so job seekers across 78 organizations. You know, I think it's still good to continue doing these types of events. Obviously, we'd love to see some of them in.
Mm-mm. Anna, we can't hear you.
I think she's frozen.
Yeah.
The regular grant matrix. Rhonda Miller also shared how she has been speaking in different capacities at different groups and organizations, which is great to see as well. And is there anything that I need to add, Karma? That concludes my report, unless there's something else from staff that we need to amend.
Okay. Any questions for Annalisa regarding the Business Services Committee? Okay, great. Thank you, Annalisa. Moving on to the youth committee report.
Hey, this is John. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the youth committee meeting. Karma, do you have a quick update from that?
So for the youth committee meeting, the committee reviewed the grants that are currently subcontracted out to our service providers. The city of La Habra, and the committee expressed, of course, concerns with the performance and the number of participants being served. We've reviewed the STEPS grant performance that we have with Goodwill, and we announced that we received another grant to develop a new STEPS program for the upcoming year. So we've just accepted the grant funding and we'll be working with Goodwill to provide a STEPS program this year. We've also discussed the potential to either have a paper performance contract or a performance plus payment contract or just a cost reimbursement contract. So the committee is still exploring those options as we get ready for a new program year and prepare for a new procurement. So for those of you that may have forgotten that our current contract with La Habra is set to expire and the procurement for that is set to expire. So we need to start preparing for a new procurement for a service provider to provide WIOA youth services to our community. And so the committee is determining, you know, how do we want to do that? What population, if any, do we want to create a pilot program for a cost plus performance grant? They reviewed kind of the homeless numbers in Orange County, as well as the justice involved youth numbers in Orange County. We are going back to research how many youth with disabilities are in Orange County because no one had that information readily available. Once we meet again, we'll determine which population makes more sense because those are some of the populations that exist in Orange County that have higher pockets of youth that are impacted by or that have barriers to employment. So the committee is still just reviewing what the options are, what the best population to serve under a pilot program would be, and some more to come on that one. And that's essentially the updates and the items that were discussed.
Any questions, any comments regarding the youth committee report? I do have a question regarding, I think we had this discussion before, but let me, I can't recall what was said about it, about providing some sort of training to the counselors within schools so that they could properly counsel their students. You know, I'm reflecting back on the presentation that I sent in at the NOB conference, where the Southern Nevada Workforce Development Board created a sort of a counselor fellowship program so that they could provide training to their counselors regarding job opportunities within priority sectors. And it was a 9-month or so fellowship that was grant covered. And I'm wondering, do we feel that the counselors are equipped to properly counsel? Do they understand about the workforce development system? Do they understand about these high priority sectors that we are working on?
So Kathy Boyd is on our board. And so we've been working with Kathy Boyd to identify and create some programs. So to be honest, we've not discussed her counselors and their knowledge or skill level. However, we've been talking to Kathy about helping us with developing some programs. Like, for example, we're talking to her about helping us with the 3D printing and maybe even making, she's got a program within her schools where the students make products and sell them, right? So maybe even exploring that. We have had a conversation of kind of explaining to counselors what WIOA is and how to, you know, what the program is, but not to the point of talking to them about in-demand industries or sectors. Another project that we're working with her on is hiring veterans to become teachers. Mm-hmm. So we're working on an apprenticeship program where individuals who were in the military can become teachers in the school system. Yesterday, we explored their CTE program and how if there is a specialized training or skill set that someone may have, that how do they turn that into an actual CTE program and receive compensation, but also train students on that information. So we're exploring different opportunities. We haven't gone on a path of explaining labor market information. I'm not sure that they don't have that. Remember, they got a $20 million grant to create jobs. I feel like that might be a part of that grant. We are not a part of, we aren't included in that in terms of planning with her and developing that. They've chosen other community partners to be a part of that $20 million grant that explores workforce development. So I don't know what her vision is, so to speak, with that, or if they've even mapped out their vision. But I do know that they received a grant that is workforce related and training related for the school system.
Mm. Okay. Hopefully in the future, they might consider the Orange County Workforce Development Board to be a partner in future grants, future grant opportunities like that. Any other questions before we move on? Okay. All right, so moving on to the One Stop Oversight Committee.
So we had our meeting and we made a very deliberate effort, I think I've mentioned in our prior meetings, to manage our time a little bit more efficiently, because in the prior meetings we would spend 45 minutes to an hour of our 2-hour meeting on, you know, digging deep into the data of the One Stops. And so we tried to, and I think we were successful, Karma, of spending more time on the action items, and then asked all of the information item presentations to be more top level, unless there's something we really need to dig into. But we did manage to get through it. And I'd say overall, we did see some progress in areas, particularly the grants, I think, and the VEEP, the veteran presentation was very, very impressive. But of concern and remaining of concern, and Karma can go into this in more detail, is a presentation twice now, two different meetings from a one-stop provider that was not adequate and not ready to come to the board. And we provided them feedback. I mean, our role as the board is to provide industry and, you know, our perspectives. And we unanimously all agreed it was not adequate. And so this is the second time we've told them that it is of concern, the disconnect. We told them to go back and look at the contract, go back and look at what the they were contracted and hired to provide, and realign that presentation. And I'll let Karma provide more details from there.
Okay.
Yes. So what Barbara's talking about is the hallmarks of excellence. As you guys remember, the board went out to evaluate all of the one-stop centers and affiliate locations. We are required to do that. And as a result of the review of the locations, there was the recommendations for improvement that was made to the one-stop operator. And it is the one-stop operator's responsibility to say how they're going to improve it, like their strategy for improvement. And like Barbara said, they've now presented twice on how they plan on improving it, but it wasn't adequate. It wasn't addressing what you as board members highlighted were the challenges in the one-stop system and the locations. It didn't align with what you identified the challenges were. Their solutions were completely, just not in alignment, just completely
not at all. And not a plan. When it said this is the plan, not a plan. Just very vague conceptual comments, no meat on the bones.
Okay, is it appropriate to name this provider?
Oh, yeah.
You did.
Information, America Works.
America Works,
yeah.
Okay.
So the number 8A1, if you look on the agenda, America Works, one-stop operator. But the others, I think, were good. We had very good presentations on the others, VEEP in particular.
Okay.
But that one is concerning, having two different, and there's months between these presentations. No substantial progress there. So we talked to Karma, the one-stop committee unanimously agreed, not ready for the board, and we are concerned.
Okay, so what would be the next steps for this operator? What are they being asked to come more prepared to present on this? And how many opportunities are we going to give them?
Great question. So yes, we've asked them to go back and redraft it. Now, keep in mind that this hallmarks of excellence is something, again, that we have to send up to the state, right? Because we're required to evaluate and prove that we've evaluated our system and that we're continuously improving the quality of services delivered. So this would be the third time that we've been back to them and asked them to reevaluate, or to not reevaluate, well, reevaluate, but then also draft a plan. So if we aren't pleased with the plan, I think that there's a corrective action letter that says basically, listen, you were contracted by us to provide continuous improvement of our one-stop system. We've asked you to do it three times. Here's a corrective action letter saying that you are failing to meet the needs of the contract, right? The contract obligations that you walked into. So that's one level, is to formally write them up, right? If and they have to provide a corrective action plan on how they plan on correcting what's wrong with the service delivery that they're providing us. Step two is say that it comes back and it's still not fixed. So then you explore whether or not you want to continue this contract or not, and or release a new procurement. So find another provider to provide the service.
I have a couple of questions, Karma. Thank you, Barbara, for sharing this information. Okay, first question would be, if we don't issue a corrective action letter, let's say now, is there an impact on this board as it relates to our relationship with the state at this time? Meaning, do we need to wait a third time, or can we do that now?
You can do it now, because the contract says that they are required to provide continuous improvement, that they're supposed to work with us. Like, it basically outlines exactly how they're supposed to work with us. And the expectation, like, we're here to help them, so they're not asking us for our help, but I'm not writing it for them. So at the same time, like, I'm not writing this for them, because that is the role of the operators, to continuously look for ways to improve the system delivery, right, and work with the partners to ensure the delivery is in place. So your answer is yes, you can write it up now. When it comes to the state, it will look like we don't have our act together, that we don't have a way to put improvements in place, because the operator that we've hired to do that for us isn't offering us a reasonable plan. I don't know that it's, you know, I don't know it's at the level of the state giving us a compliance finding. It might be an observation, but what I do know is that, remember, every 2 years we're responsible for updating our board, recertifying our board, and the recertification of our board includes program oversight, fiscal oversight, making sure that things are in good order. Well, if we don't get this clean by then, we might have a problem. Okay. And that's due, I believe, next year.
One other question. What is the duration, and when does the contract sunset with this provider? That's one. And say that we were to provide a corrective action and go to the next level that you mentioned. Can you remind me whether there is a marketplace out there that could provide this, or was there an attempt to put it out in the marketplace, but there wasn't really anybody who responded to that?
Good question. So the contract is set up for an annual renewal. So we just renewed for a new year in June, right? Because July is a new year. So that's the answer to that, that anytime we can decide not to renew the contract, we just have to give them a sufficient notice. We did release an RFP. They were the only organization to respond back to the RFP, because remember, this concept of an operator is different in California at that time. Now, I know that San Diego has just done a procurement for an operator the same way that we have an operator. So now I think that we now have two workforce areas that have this. So I think that we might have more organizations that respond to it now. Mm-hmm. Because we were the first to do it. Now San Diego's done it. So now I believe that there might be people more familiar with what we're asking for. The other thing is, who's eligible? So a community college could go after this. A person can go after the one-stop operator, as long as they have a plan on how they plan on staffing, right? A for-profit company, basically it's open to a lot of different types of organizations having the opportunity to become our one-stop operator. But they have to be able to demonstrate they understand what it is, and that they are able to provide the services that we're asking for. So I think that Now that we're not the first anymore, that somebody else has put out a procurement, I think that more organizations might be more familiar with this concept and be more willing to go after it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my last question is the current contract, and I know it's only for a year, is it performance-based in terms of payment?
Interesting. It is. So it's cost plus performance, meaning that I pay for the cost of you operating, cost reimbursement for that. But then there are some performance metrics that if you get, for example, if you get us, all of our partners, to co-locate, you get a $10,000 payment. If you get successful customer service satisfaction reports, like a certain level, you get $10,000 for that. They've not met it yet. So in the couple of years that they've had this contract with us, they've never received any performance payments because they haven't met the performance requirements. Mm-hmm. So this is a cost plus performance contract.
Do you have a sense of what the root cause is? Is it leadership? Is it just that they really are not, they don't have the capacity to do what they said and set out to do?
I think is they're not local. So the main company is based out of, I believe, New York. And I think that if the main company was closer or had more involvement with the day-to-day, I think that they would see the challenges that we have. We've had a lot of friction with them over the last couple of years that I've been here with the staff that are here, because I don't think that the staff, like, they're not, there's a disconnect between the staff and corporate office. I think because of that disconnect, that the staff may not be receiving the guidance that they need to help this contract be successful. And then I don't think that corporate office is maybe taking this contract as seriously as they probably should, because they're on the other side of the country.
I will also add that, there was a lot of confusion both times in discussing roles and responsibilities. A real lack of understanding on who owned messaging for the one-stops, who controlled the messaging, reporting and getting approvals, going out as a contractor, a vendor on behalf of the one-stop, the appropriate steps they should take to get the one-stop's approval on messaging. A lot of lack of clarity there, which should not be the case. That should all be clearly defined. And then there was a new gentleman presenting, and he did, say he's new, but there were several typos throughout the document. So, I mean, quality checking it. It was just, we were really underwhelmed.
So I had an opportunity to engage with the corporate office directly.
I'm sorry, Annalisa, what'd you say?
Oh, have we had an opportunity to engage with the corporate office directly?
More than once. We actually CC the corporate office on all of our email communications. So we don't even talk to the staff without CCing the CEO so that they're aware of what's happening.
So the question on the table for me at least is, should we issue the corrective action notice now, or should we wait? I mean, I think based on what I'm hearing, I'm not seeing a good reason to wait. So I welcome, other Barbara. What are your thoughts? I mean, have we been patient enough and given them ample opportunity to, come correct and present the information, or what would you advise? You're on mute.
Sorry. We did twice. Now, we did not say, and I wouldn't want them to be blindsided, we told them to fix it up and come back and sort of that's it. We didn't say we were going to, issue anything or call corporate, but I don't know if that can be done outside these meetings. I'm not sure, Karma, if your office is able to do that without, bringing the committee back together. I don't know how that works.
Yes, I can. And I honestly think we should. And here's why. We gave them this, you guys did this back in November of last year.
Yeah, it's really, and I mean, if you saw it and you read through it, it was really surprisingly so basic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the county should be paying for that. I mean, I know we're here to provide our industry, counsel and feedback. We wouldn't. I mean, if someone provided that to us, we would not be satisfied. We wouldn't pay for that.
Okay. John and Alisa, what are your thoughts?
Well, it sounds like we've given plenty of notice. They've come back with lots of reports that aren't satisfactory. It seems like the corrective action of this would be the next step. And then after that, if there's, I mean, that's kind of like, hey, this is your final salvo. And if you're not able to get your act together, we're going to terminate this contract. I think that's perfectly reasonable at this point.
Yeah.
I would tend to.
Because if you calculate, by the time they come back to us again at the next one-stop meeting, it will be almost a year. It will be almost 11 months, or maybe 12, if with the meetings in October or November, it will be almost a year. Mm-hmm. For a really basic, I mean, if you saw the, it's really simple stuff.
Yeah. Annalisa?
I would tend to agree. My concern is if we don't show that we are properly, and it sounds like we have been, I think we've been probably patient enough. If we don't enable ourselves to show that, listen, we are giving you a corrective action letter and you need to fix it or else, then it's going to jeopardize our relationship. Now, the only other concern I would have is to make sure that we do have another option at the ready. At least we have a sense of who else might be able to do this work if we end up having to let this operator go so that we are prepared for it. So I'd be curious to know how the San Diego group, what their responses have been, and seeing what that field looks like. I do think that it is something that we probably are planning to share this with the rest of the board as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do we need to do here, Karma? Do we need to take a...
So my staff and I will go through the contract, highlight the terms of the contract that they are not in compliance with, and ask for corrective action.
Okay, got it. All right, well, thank you. Thank you, Barbara and Karma, for bringing this to our attention, and hopefully we can get this issue addressed. All right, so moving on, anything else under One Stop?
I just wanted to say it wasn't all negative. I don't want to leave it negative. I mean, just that number one, A1 was the problem. The others were good, and I think we're showing progress. There was a presentation we weren't able to get to that I think Karma is going to try and bring into a good story, a good positive story that she wants to bring forward at the next meeting. So there is some good news there. I didn't want to leave it with a negative impression because of one provider.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Have we covered the one-stop surveys?
Yeah, nothing significant.
Nothing there, okay. Moving on to EDD compliance and audit updates.
So as a reminder, I had promised, the matrix is not on there. As a reminder, I'd promised to kind of to keep the board up to date with where we are with compliance. Desiree, can we go to page 198? Just a reminder, so there are still ongoing audits from EDD. So remember I told you there were audits that I walked into that are open as far back as 2016, they still not closed. EDD is still reviewing them. I don't know when they're going to be closed. A lot of those audits are the reason why we changed a lot of our practices as a workforce board and implemented a lot of policies and procedures for our service providers. So those are still open. We're waiting for the state to get back to us. What I hope to do is to be able to show or demonstrate to the state that we have our act in order. So if there is an item that was listed in any of those observations or compliance findings, I can come back and say that we've implemented these policies, these procedures, these are our practices now that prove that we've got our act in order, please forgive us. Now, they may not forgive us. And if it is something that is question costs, the county will have to pay those question costs out of general revenue funds because you cannot use WIOA funding to pay back a WIOA program. Does that make sense? So you can't use federal funding to pay back a federal compliance problem. Mm-hmm. Now, if the county can potentially go back to those service providers that they gave the money to. But if those service providers don't have the money or out of business, it is on the county and the board of supervisors to pay that money back. And 9 times out of 10, it has to be paid out of general revenue funds. Mm-hmm. And just a reminder, those are multiple $1 million compliance challenges that we face. So those combined are several $1 million worth. So that's the orange section. The green section are the audits that we've had with EDD that have been conducted and concluded or completed with no compliance findings. So they're not open, no investigation. We successfully passed those. And I believe that it's a result of the policies and procedures that this board has put in place, that as a result, we now have good standing in all of those reviews that the state has done with us. And that's 2018. To current. The blue section are the monitoring that we are doing on our service providers. The blue and gray represents where the separate departments, so it's not my department because we have to have an arm's length distance between the auditor and the program staff, but the auditors are going out or have gone out to conduct program and fiscal audits on our service providers. The challenge has been because of the pandemic, they weren't able to go out and physically go through files and physically go through practices. So they are delayed in some of them. So you see 2020 is still open, 2021 is still open. And it's because they couldn't go out and monitor them at that time. So now they're going out now. If there are any outstanding compliance issues, we'll bring that up to the board. But right now that team is going out monitoring with the service providers and sending out letters. Requiring corrective action. I haven't had one where the service provider hasn't complied. If we do have something where the service provider is not complying, I will definitely notify the board.
All right. Any questions here? Great. Thank you, Carmen, for that update. Oh, Anna?
The orange section, since they're kind of, these are aging items, right? I mean, it's like half a decade now. Is there any way that they can be closed out by virtue of the fact that a lot of the things that were addressed in there have been resolved? Or at what point are they going to do that? It's kind of
suspense. Nope, when they get around to it, they can be open forever. So I have seen in my experience with workforce, I've seen cases open where counties or cities are fighting back with the state for years. So it gets to the point where the state decides that the situation has been resolved or that you've created action that, right. Yeah. So the answer is no, that it's on the state to determine that and or DOL. It's not a letter from us. And honestly, I don't want to rush them. Take your time, because maybe by the time you get to it, you're so tired of it, you let it go. Yeah. So I'm not pressing it. I'm not asking them when you're going to hurry up and get it done. From my experience, so part of what I've done in the past is I used to do these audits for the state of Ohio. So I know, don't bother them. Don't bring it to their attention. Let them get through their process. And hopefully, you can come to an agreement together that it's been resolved, that you have enough practices in place to demonstrate that you've got your act together. A lot of our compliance issues were based on procurement. And so I feel like we've got a couple of years under our belt with good procurement. So maybe they will let it go by the time that they get back to addressing it.
Yeah, they're probably watching how we're performing right now.
I believe so.
Okay, great. If there are no further questions, I think we've covered everything. Any open discussion items, Karma, that you have?
None that we haven't talked about.
Okay. Anything that any of the other board members would like to bring up before we conclude?
One thing I'll bring up, it's kind of a go back. When we were going through the one-stop data, mm-hmm. You know, of the four areas we as a group agreed would be the strategic growth areas, IT placements remains a challenge. Mm-hmm. And getting relationships and connections to place people in IT jobs, which is clearly a strategic growth area, remains a challenge.
Okay. I wonder why is that? Any insight you have?
I don't think that we have enough IT relationships. So as you know, Annette has gone out trying to do the industry sector conversations. And I think that when Annette initially went out to do industry sector conversations, she really focused on companies who branded themselves as IT companies in Orange County. Mm-hmm. Now, since then we talked and I told her that it's more than just those companies because healthcare has an IT department. The county has an IT department. Right. They also have suppliers. So I think that she's going to cast her net further. I think it's the relationships. And I don't think that our board has enough IT presence. Because when I look at our board right now, we don't have any members on our board that are IT companies. Maybe Carlos Oregon's company might have some IT involvement, but we really do need more
members. There's a gap there.
Yeah. To help guide us on who to call or what are the groups that IT.
Because we're not going to make those inroads without some relationships. So
correct.
Either. You know, we need to fill, it would be important, I think, for all the four strategic areas we've identified to have board members in those areas. And in the absence of that, some third party advocates or relationships with other groups that can help us. But we're continuing to see lagging development there. There is sometimes some good growth, but overall that one is lagging compared to the others.
Right. And perhaps see IT, just as you said, as a sort of a subsector that's embedded in some of the major sectors like healthcare,
right?
Because we know that healthcare has a number of IT positions, and that's probably true for other priority sectors as well. So, okay, got it. All right, anything else before we adjourn?
And I think Rob Claudio had some information on this. He might be able to share in the board meeting. I do recall him making some comments, particularly about Irvine and the growth of IT companies there. And I think it came down to what Karma said, the lack of relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's something we need to address.
Right. All right. Well, great. All right. So I think we've covered everything. If there are no further comments, I think we can adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.